Yeah.
It's 12 o'clock
here in the Northumberland area. And again, time for Week in Review, that fantastic show everyone is talking about. We're getting rave reviews on that. Again, it's not, couldn't have been done without the great success and my fantastic co-host, Mr. John Hill. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Very well, Jim. We got a big show today. We're going to be talking about an aspect of local politics that doesn't get a lot of coverage, but one that affects a lot of people. If anyone was listening to CBC, and not this station yesterday, they might have heard a discussion about rising electrical rates in the province and how some families have to make a choice between heat or eat.
That's right.
And so why does that apply to us? It's because Lakeshore Utilities has put in for an electric rate increase in Northumberland. And how that happens, I think, is a little bit vague for most people. Do they just get to set it? Well, actually, what they have to do is they've got to make an application to the Ontario Energy Board. So we have on the line with us today Kieran Bishop, the Manager of Supply and Infrastructure for the Ontario Energy Board. And I'm hoping that Kieran will give us a little bit of an insight into the process that's used. Are you there, Kieran?
Hi, John. How are you?
Very well, thanks. And thanks for being on Week in Review here today. As I said, we're looking for some sort of insight. How do these rate increases happen? How does the Ontario Energy Board get involved?
Well, a distributor isn't allowed to charge anything for distribution unless the OEB has approved it. And so we expect distributors to go through a rate application process to review the rates they can charge their customers. And that's the process that Lakefront's going through right now.
So what happens there? They put in an application to increase it by a certain amount, or does the OEB tell them how much they can increase it?
Sure. Well, let me talk about the process for a little bit. It's an open and transparent process that the OEB has, and you can kind of break it down into five steps. First, the OEB receives an application and assesses it to make sure it's complete, that all the detail and data that we're looking for is there. And then the OEB issues notice. And the notice serves a function of notifying customers in Northumberland of Lakefront's application. And we give people a chance to give feedback and to get involved in the case. In the case of Lakefront's application, there was notice in Northumberland today in early June. Then after this, we provide parties involved in the application a chance to test the application, to ask questions of the applicant, and to get a sense of what the applicant's asking for. Then there's a chance to potentially propose solutions for the request that Lakefront is making. And then finally, there's a decision by an impartial decision maker of the OEB.
And that's the board itself?
It's a panel of the board, yes.
And how long does it usually take for the time that the application is made until we see an increase in our hydro bills?
Well, the typical turnaround time for a case like Lakefront is around 6 to 9 months from application to decision, and a utility will ask for rates effective at a certain date, and that decision will be is also made by the panel of the board.
Now, this application by Lakefront Utilities is for a 4-year period beginning January 1st, 2017. I suspect that all the decisions that the OEB must take have to be in by that time?
In the normal course, we would expect that based on an April application, submission of an application in April, that a distributor would be able to have a decision to put rates in place by January. Let me talk a little bit about also what Lakefront has asked for. For a distributor that on the rate plan that Lakefront is under, we do a detailed review of costs for 1 year, and then there are mechanistic adjustments for the ensuing 4 years. That's what we call a price cap framework. And so the detailed review we're really focusing on is for 2017, and then there will be automatic adjustments based on efficiency and productivity expectations thereafter for a 4-year period.
One of the comments that we've received is why is it really useful to conserve energy? Because then the utility company says we're not making as much profit, and then the OEB grants them an increase. Isn't that kind of counterproductive?
Well, I think it's important we talk about the different parts of the bill. So customers pay an overall bill, that includes the cost of distribution and transmission and the cost of electricity itself is supplied, as well as some other charges. Lakefront is looking for a review of the distribution charges it itself charges for the cost of delivering power over the wires it owns and operates, and all the billing functions and other support functions that it gives its customers. It's really just that portion of the bill that is at issue in this application.
Is there any cap on the amount that the OEB would allow?
The test that we apply for distribution rates is that they be just and reasonable, and we investigate that through a number of different ways. And often it comes down to balancing a lot of different interests. We want to keep rates as low as possible, and we act in the public interest to do so. And yet the OEB also has an obligation to make sure the system can run properly and be financially viable over the long term. So we spend a lot of time reviewing the investment plans and spending plans thoroughly to make sure that the investments are needed, that they provide value to customers, that the costs are well-paced, that the projects are prioritized that the distributor wants to carry out, and that the rates that result are just and reasonable for customers to pay.
Well, that gives us an overview as to the process, and I want to say that the people I've spoken to have been extremely fortified in the knowledge that the OEB is a very professional organization and has done a great job. So I want to thank you for taking the time out to speak with us and explain the processes here today. Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks very much, John.
Very wonderful insight as to what's going on as far as how the power is supplied and the application process as well.
Well, as we just heard, there has been an intervention, and actually there was an intervention by three parties, Energy Probe, the Vulnerable Energy Consumers Coalition, and by the Corporate Taxpayers Association. And we have with us in the studio one of the authors of the intervention for the CTA, Paul Pagnuolo. Welcome back to Week in Review, Paul.
Oh, thanks,
John. Kept your chair warm there, Paul.
Yeah, I noticed. But you got an arm falling off here.
So,
your overview there, Paul. What's your take on it? What's the taxpayer saying about that?
Well, let me start today by saying that under the OEB rules, I can't disclose what was discussed during the 2-day closed session of the settlement conference. What I can discuss are the written questions the CTA gave to Lakefront Utilities, and their response is these are public records.
Mm-hmm.
Why the OEB notice says the requested increase would only be $1.15 per month for the typical residential customer. Lakefront application is to increase the amount it charges customers by 10%, or $445,000. The CTA, Energy Probe, and the Vulnerable Energy Consumers Coalition, which John mentioned, applied for and were granted intervener status. And we heard from the OEB just a short while ago what the role of interveners are. They're interested groups or individuals who participate actively in the proceeding, either by submitting evidence, arguments, or written questions, or by cross-examining a witness at an oral hearing. These provide a forum for those who may be affected by the board's rulings to express their views to the board and to participate meaningfully in the board's decision-making process.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're looking at, as we just heard, they're looking to set up a structure where there's going to be a cap. I thought if a town owned its own utility company, how is it that the rates keep going up?
Well, number one, I think we need to look at who and what Louis is,
mm-hmm.
Lakefront Utilities.
Yeah, it used to be, and at one point in time, it was the Corporate Public Utilities Commission.
Yes.
And now it seems like a shell game of a bunch of little companies.
Well, what happened is there was legislation back in 2000 that required all municipal governments to divest themselves of their electrical utilities and move them out into a private corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And municipalities have no choice in doing that. What Lakefront is it's our local electricity distribution company. It purchases electricity directly from the independent electricity system operator and passes those costs through to its customers. There's no markup on that. It has 9,000 customers in Coburg and 1,000 customers in the village of Coburg. It's 99.9% owned by the town of Coburg, and the township of Crammy owns 0.01%. Its parent company is the town of Coburg Holdings, or Holdco, which we often hear talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor is the chair of Holdco. It also has a 5-member board. Lakefront Utilities, Inc., or Lucy, is also a Holdco subsidiary that provides services to Louis. It also provides water operations authority to Coburg, Grafton, Coburn, and Brighton.
So does Louis make a profit?
In 2017, the proposed return on capital, which is in their application, works out to just over $1.2 million, or 25% of Louis's service revenue requirement. In other words, about a quarter of the distribution charge on your monthly bill is pure profit.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Lucy, it's an unregulated company, and we don't know what profit it is making on your water and sewer bill.
Now, just to go back a bit, there's the Lakefront Utilities, Inc. There's a Lakefront Utilities Services, Inc., which is sometimes called Lucy. Then there's some other companies that under Holdco as well.
Well, yeah. Essentially, if we go back, and this was part of our original submission that got denied by Louis in terms of providing answers. But it seems now that Holdco originally had 5 subs. There was Louis, there was Lucy, there was what was referred to as Lakefront Generation, Lakefront Lighting, and Colbert Networks. On January 2013, Lakefront Generation was merged into Lucy. And then 2 years later, on January 1st, 2015, Lakefront Lighting, and we all remember the story around the lighting fiasco.
Yes.
It was merged into Coburg Networks. And finally, on January 1st, 2016, Coburg Networks was merged into Lucy. We don't know what all three, since being merged into Lucy, what we don't know is what the gain or loss was that took place with each transaction.
As a taxpayer, Paul.
And the taxpayer, exactly. And this is particularly important in the case of Lakefront Generation. Apparently, it did have staff when it was a standalone subsidiary of Holdco. It had no revenue stream that we're aware of. So how was it being funded and at what cost? Is the original line of business for each subsidiary still operational within Lucy? We don't know what's happened with Lakefront Generation. Is it still more what it was intended to do? Is it still being operated as part of Lucy? We don't know what happened with Lakefront Lighting. Is it still running the lighting business?
Well, there was a lawsuit
from
the company had to pay.
Phillips, I think, issued that one.
Yeah, well, Pennsylvania.
One of our questions was, and it didn't get responded to by Louis because it said it had nothing to do with them, was what was the quantity and value of the remaining inventory of Luxlite induction lighting? What was it at the time of the settlement of the successful lawsuit by Osram Sylvania, which, you will recall, ruled against Lakefront Lighting in July 2012? How was that inventory subsequently disposed of, and at what price?
Yeah, because the judgment said that they weren't allowed to sell it.
Exactly. So where did it go, and what did it cost us?
As a taxpayer, Paul, am I able to make inquiries through Lakefront Utilities or up at Holdco
and
try to get some answers?
Well, the whole issue of whether or not
on?
you can under freedom of information is debatable.
Mm-hmm.
As a standalone corporate entity, technically it doesn't have to. But let's not forget the fact that it is owned by the town of Coburg.
Absolutely.
And council are shareholders, the shareholder representatives. And you would think that council at least would be aware of all this information, but very little is ever reported in the public at a council meeting. So, quite frankly, the one route we can take is to go through to the town with a Freedom of Information request, asking the town to provide whatever information they have regarding...
And even they're not going to have all the information anyway.
Well,
this is what...
Well, we don't know. You know, they will only provide to us under Freedom of Information whatever might have been discussed with town staff or with the board, with council itself.
Well, before the rate hike went forward, I remember doing a survey that Lakefront Utilities put out, basically a customer satisfaction survey, and basically all the questions were slanted in their favor. Did they use the survey at all in trying to go for the rate increase?
Well, we asked them to explain the basis for their first conclusion, and that was that a 2% response rate was acceptable for measuring customer satisfaction. Louis's response was it felt the response rate was acceptable because it received value-added information. We also noted that they used Facebook and Twitter to improve the survey response rate. We specifically asked what percentage of Lakefront customers follows Facebook and Twitter accounts. Their reply was that approximately 3% of their customers currently follow their Twitter account. One of our researchers found their followers included Pretty Damn Sexy, a UK online clothing store, a number of escort services, governments, power companies, businesses, advertising. There was a dog or two, and even the CTA. There were very few followers that we could identify as being Lakefront customers. I hope that escort services are not important to their business.
Yeah.
So, in other words, the survey was just fluff then for the...
Smoke and mirrors, as they say.
No,
that's a good way to put it. I just would like to actually find out exactly how much of a vested interest the actual town has as far as HOCO goes. I'd also like to find out how much money of taxpayer money is the company actually making, and with merging all, like, what was the purpose behind merging all these companies?
We don't know. They claim it was to become more efficient,
more streamlined.
Quite frankly, by merging them in, so those entities don't exist on their own. They're all now part of Lucy's operations.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's happening within Lucy. We don't know what markup Lucy is making on our monthly water and sewer bill, for example. No idea whatsoever. We have no idea what their actual profit or rate of return is on their whole operations.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that in the case of Louis.
Did this result in a big increase in the salaries paid to management and management?
Well, that's another thing. We did ask, as part of our intervention, why they don't disclose individual salary and benefit costs for senior management. Louis replied by saying they don't do it because it would cause privacy concerns. Any information was not a requirement of the OEB's filing requirements.
Mm-hmm.
We countered that point by saying, look, under Ontario's Public Sector Salary Disclosure Act, dates back to 1996, the intent of that act was to make Ontario's public sector more open and accountable to taxpayers by making public the names, the positions, the salaries, and total taxable benefits of employees who make over $100,000 a year.
Well, that's commonly referred to as the Sunshine List.
Yeah, that's right.
And if employees of that particular organization are making in excess of $100,000, we should know that.
Well, if we consider that that the Ontario government doesn't consider the publication of that information to be a privacy issue for more than 115,000 public sector employees, it stands to reason that it should not be a concern for Lakefront Utilities.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, prior to 2000, when Lakefront was created, Lakefront employees, being town employees, were subject to the Act. Louis's final response to our questions was that in the absence of a statutory requirement to disclose the information, it won't. Now, what we do know is that according to a 2013 management salary survey of local distribution companies, the average actual base salary for a president and CEO of the region that Colbert falls under is about $218,000.
Mm-hmm.
The decision actually not to provide the information suggests that Louis, and for that matter Holco, does not support being open and transparent to ratepayers and the citizens of the town of Colbert, who are in fact the de facto shareholders of Holco and its subsidiaries.
One of the things that struck me when I'm going through the budget materials each year is that there's this big note payable from Lucy to the town of Cobourg, and that note doesn't have any repayment of principal in it. It's a fairly high interest rate. What can you tell us about that?
Well, look, that demand note dates back to 2000. At the time, it originally was only for $4 million. When the town sold its electricity assets to Louis, in exchange it received shares and a promissory demand note. Following a reevaluation of the assets, that demand note was increased to $7 million in September 2006 and is backdated to May 2000 at an annual interest rate of 7.25%. In our initial questions, we noted that the rate is significantly higher than rates that are currently widely available for similar debt. For example, beginning in January of 2008, the prime business loan rate has declined from 6% down to a low of 2.7%, which is where it currently stands. We also noted that over the years, both the town and Louis have stated in their financial statements that the town does not intend to demand repayment until replacement term financing is in place, and that the annual interest rate paid is about $508,000. We asked for an explanation of how maintaining the debt at far above current market rates is advantageous to Louis' customers, what his plans were to renegotiate the debt, and the assessment of when replacement term financing will be in place. Louis replied by saying its customers were not being disadvantaged, because the interest included in the application is based on the OEB's deemed rate of 4.54%. It went on to say its investigation and cost savings was in the preliminary stages, and it has not had discussion with its shareholder.
Which
it
is the town.
It said that the ultimate decision has to be made by the town. In our follow-up questions, Louis replied that it has had discussions with the town since 2011. We don't recall the matter coming before council, and the CTA believes that reducing the rate to perhaps 2.5%, either with the town or a commercial lender, would be a significant benefit to Louis' customers. Right now, Colbert and Colbert electricity users are paying far too much interest at 7.25% on a $7 million loan from the town of Colbert. This is rather like paying twice the current interest rate on your home mortgage, so the bigwigs at the bank can squander the extra cash on freebies and nice-to-haves.
Mm-hmm.
In a 2009 OEB report, the board stated it is of the view that electricity distribution utilities should be motivated to make rational decisions for commercial arm's-length debt arrangements, even with shareholders or affiliates. Look, this 4.54% OEB deemed interest rate is difficult to try and explain in 5 seconds or less.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at the difference between that and the 7.25% rate, that's still cash out the door.
Well, that's really the big problem with a monopoly.
Yeah.
It just seems that Louis is using the Cobourg electrical users to subsidize a tax, really, on the citizens of Cobourg, that then they give it back to the town of Cobourg for as a slush fund, so to speak, for things that may not be so popular if they had to use this actual taxpayer money.
It's out of one pocket and into another. And quite frankly, if we reduce the rate to 7.25%, that would result in an overall interest payment savings to the town and benefit electricity consumers to the tune of $333,000 annually.
Well, it would be nice to have another supplier around, I think. Another option would be wonderful.
Well, listen, put it out to bid with a commercial lender.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
But we have to thank Paul for the work you've done in providing this intervention.
Insight.
And thank you for coming on the air today and explaining it for us.
And I also want to thank Mr. Bishop, too, also for joining us here on air just to give us a little bit of an understanding as to the process of what's going on as that will be effective January 1st. Of 2017. John, long weekends upon you, sir. I want you to have a great weekend.
And you too, Jim.
And Paul, you the same, my friend.